have lots of friends and not be the kid that's bullied at school.
I want them to have options without financial barriers and to live a long, happy life. So you guys maybe can relate to some of this stuff, but you know, to me, this is the deck chairs, right? This is the stuff that's, it's good, it's important, it's not bad to go after, but it's not the best. And the best for us, obviously, helping our kids get to heaven. This is the actual iceberg that the Titanic crashed into. So they went by this after the next day and saw this red streak of paint on this iceberg. And it's like they were so busy straightening these deck chairs that they weren't paying attention to what was important, which is what direction are we headed. And, you know, I think with our parenting, we can get so distracted sometimes by the things that are good in parenting.
Yeah.
And we can spend so much time trying to do those things and succeed in those things and be good at those and give our kids all this stuff. And sometimes we can spend so much time on it, it causes us to neglect the most important thing about parenting, helping our kids get to heaven.
Yeah.
And so we want to look at some scriptures. So for the next 30 minutes, we've got four or five scriptures that we want to look at. We want to talk about in parenting, majoring in the majors. And not majoring in minors, which is so easy to do and so easy to fall into those patterns. And so we want to talk. So first scripture we want to read, it's in Deuteronomy 6, verse 6. It says, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them to symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." You know, the world has a way of raising kids. Right? There's a lot of ideas out there and philosophies, and you can get all sorts of great advice on Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest. But the Bible has a lot to say about raising kids and disciplining kids. And this scripture is awesome. I mean, it talks about impressing these things on your children. Impressing the word, the commandments that I give you on your children. You know, we have limited time with our kids. I don't know about your life, but, you know, the kids have their activities and they're in school or they're in daycare and you're working and you get home and they got bedtime coming up and you got a limited amount of time. And so for us, thinking about very purposefully, how are we going to spend that time with our kids? What are we going to do for the 2 hours that we have with them or whatever that might be? You think about this word impress. So there's, I don't know if this is in your church and at the Path, but up in Northview, there's kind of this false teaching going around right now, which is you got to leave your kids alone and let them make their own decisions so they can be who they're going to be and not feel any pressure and not feel any expectations from parents. And so you've got a lot of parenting strategies where it's like kids born, you just kind of set a Bible down next to them. Watch from a distance. They hope and pray that they pick it up and read it and teach themselves. And you'll even hear, you know, we go to baptisms and teens and, you know, the parents get up and say, "Hey, we didn't do anything. We didn't say anything. We let them do it all on their own. And we just kind of watched. And that's how we know this is real, because they did it all on their own."
Yeah.
And I look in the Bible and I'm like, that's a false teaching. That's not what the scripture says to do. The Bible says impress these things on your children.
That's right.
I mean, impress, that's force, that's effort, that's friction, that's consistency, that's uncomfortable. I mean, that's, as a parent, that's like, I wake up thinking about how am I going to teach my kids this stuff today? Mm-hmm. That's and what am I going to do to accomplish
that's
this?
Right.
So what are the main topics in our household? What are we talking about when we're sitting at dinner? What are we talking about at bedtime?
Yeah.
What's on the TV? What shows are we watching? What shows are the kids watching? What's on the radio? What am I listening to? What are my kids listening to? You know, because we're impressing things on our kids, but when we're not impressing things on our kids, someone else is impressing things on our kids, right? The world is creating an impression on them, and we can't really avoid that. And so Christine's going to share a little bit about some of the battles we fight trying to fight those worldly impressions.
Well, it's great to be here with you guys. I so much appreciate all the young families and even the expecting families. That's awesome, because it's never too early to start, you know, working on these practicals and working on the scriptures. But so one of the things, one of the big battlegrounds that the world has when they're trying to impress upon upon our children is through TV and through all kinds of technology that the kids have access to now. Now, from a practical standpoint, our kids don't have a lot of access to technology. We don't have, you know, they don't have their own iPads. They don't have TVs in their room, things like that. But they are seven, and so they do watch their TV shows. And but Nick and I made a decision pretty early on, before this was ever an issue, that we wanted to agree on the TV shows that they watched. So they know they've got a certain number of TV shows, and certain ones age out as, you know, they grow a little older. But there was one TV show that they wanted to start watching, and Nick and I were kind of like, yeah, I don't know about that. So Nick said, well, I'll watch it with you, and I'll see what the content is. So he watched a couple episodes. He's like, all right, you know, you can watch this, but we're going to keep an eye on it. So a few months go by. This is like one of their favorite shows. And we started to notice some attitude. We started to notice, you know, the way they talked to each other changed a little bit. And
that's
then true. It changed a little bit more. And they're twins, so they, you know, they have their little things. But we didn't like what we were seeing. So we said, okay, this is their favorite show. What are we going to do? And so we said, all right, we're not going to make a popular decision, but we're going to make the decision we feel like is what we talked about. So we sat down with them and we said, we're going to take a break from this show, girls. We're going to, you know, for the rest of the month, you girls are not going to watch this show. There were many tears. You don't have to watch TV, I guess. So we just said, you know, but not only did we do that, we wanted to say, okay, why are we seeing this? You know, what is it that we're seeing that we don't think is godly, that we don't think is set apart from the world? And so we really wanted to show them that, okay, the kindness with which you talk to each other, the attitudes that you have, there's a right and a wrong way, and even if you watch these shows, you don't have to imitate these behaviors. Right. And so, you know, it's not a popular decision, but you don't want to let the tail wag the dog either. And, you know, just because something's not going to be popular in your house, it doesn't mean it's not the right thing.
Amen. Yes.
And they ask us all the time, can I watch that show? It's like, no. And I think it was great, because having that conversation with them, she got a chance to talk to them about the Bible and the influences in the world. So if we had never let them watch a show, we would have missed that opportunity. So I thought that was great. The next scripture that means a lot to us, Isaiah 29:13. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. You know, I think as parents, I ask myself this question. Am I passing on a religion or a relationship with Jesus?
Come on.
That's good.
Because I've grown up in the church, and I've been in the church my whole life. And from an early age, I knew what to do, what to say, how to act. I mean, I could fake it.
Yeah.
But am I passing on the rules of our religion? Am I raising some religious robots that know what our church people do and don't do, and what they say and don't say? Or am I really considering their heart and what's on their heart? And are they developing a desire to have a relationship with Jesus? That also kind of spills over into the way we discipline them. You know, am I just looking for the right action, or am I looking for their heart to be in the right place?
Right.
A lot of times for us, our kids can do what we're telling them to do with a stinky attitude, a bunch of skunk, or rolling eye or something. And it's like, that's not really a victory. They did what I asked, but that's not a victory, because they honored me with their lips, but their hearts were not in the right spot. And we have a saying, obey the first time with a happy heart.
That's right.
We say that to them 100 times a day, and it's just a battle, and we're going to keep doing it.
Yeah,
we're working on that. And we pray to see the heart. I think that's kind of a scary prayer sometimes, but praying that we see the heart of our kids and not just their actions. I think Christine has a story about her mom that kind of relates to this.
Yeah, so like Nick said, we both were fortunate enough to grow up in the church, and my mom's been a Christian for a long time. And from a very early age, I remember walking into our living room and her being in the same spot every single day. She was with her Bible, she was with her notebook, her journal, tissues, coffee. It was like, I came to understand this was her time. This was her time with God. This is where she drew strength. And as I got older, I wanted to imitate that more. So that had a really profound impact on me, that I not only want to provide a spiritual place for my kids, but I want to show them. I want to, you know, be consistent enough in my time with God that they know where I am, that they know, you know, where Mama's going to be in the morning to pray with me, to curl up in her lap. I think I see that as her, where she drew strength. And if you think about it, you ever been in an airplane, you've heard this, you know, in case of cabin pressure, put on your air mask before you can put on, you know, your kid's air mask. And I understand that now as a parent. You know, you can only pour out what you put in. And so that's just been really a great example for me to follow with my mom.
Yeah, and I think I want my kids to see my relationship with God. I mean, my relationship with God's important to me. It means something to me. When I pray by myself, my prayers are a little different than when I pray with the kids. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes the prayers with the kids are a little simple. Mm-hmm. But every once in a while, I'm trying to take them on my prayer walks. And, like, I want them to hear me pray those prayers that are real, that are relational. And I talk to them about my prayer walks. I want them to see that relationship. I mean, growing up in the church, I had a lot of friends, and Christine did too, who were superstars spiritually. You know, we're leaders in the preteens, leaders in the young teens, and the teen ministry, and the campus, and going in the ministry, and internships, and we all looked at them and thought, these kids are going to be, you know, preachers, and lead, you know, masses of people to Jesus. And today, a lot of those guys aren't walking with God at all. They're not going to church. They're not close to God. They've wandered away from that relationship. And looking back now in hindsight, I can be like, yeah, these are the guys who were doing, but they didn't have a depth of relationship with God. And they're not faithful today. And the guys who are faithful today sometimes were totally messed up in high school. A kid that was always barely hanging on by a thread spiritually, but they had a connection to God. That kept them in it. And so with my kids, I don't want to raise them to be, you know, a church kid. I want to raise them to be somebody who has a relationship with God.
That's awesome.
Another scripture, two scriptures, Proverbs 22. I love Proverbs. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Mm-hmm. And then 13:24, whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline
them. Come on now.
This is a hard one, because training and discipline is probably the most exhausting part of being a godly parent.
Yes.
Right? I mean, it wears you out. You can start up, wake up in the morning, and think, okay, today I'm going to take care of these kids and discipline them, and by lunchtime you're like, just go watch TV.
Yes.
Yeah, whatever, you can have that. Yes. Yeah. Our standards go down through the day. The tough thing for me is disciplining in love.
Yes.
Just careful to discipline them, that scripture.
Yes.
You know, I want to discipline angry.
Yeah.
I want to raise my voice. I want to be quick. I want to stomp across the room. I want to move with the quickness and go over there and bed, because I'm angry and I'm frustrated and I've been wearing me down. And the number of times I've had to go back to my kids and apologize to them. And that's a tough thing to do, but I know that that's going to be awesome for them someday to look back and say, yeah, my dad made mistakes and he apologized, so it's okay for me to apologize too. So I've gone back to my kids numerous times and said, hey, Daddy shouldn't have yelled at you. I shouldn't have been angry. I'm sorry. And it's so awkward for them to hear their dad apologize. They kind of like, it's okay. I mean, if you apologize to your kids, it's like foreign to them. Hopefully one day that won't be so weird for them to hear their apologize.
They have so much grace, though.
Yeah.
They do. Oh,
that's
my
okay.
God.
Yeah. I want to be consistent in my discipline, and I think that's important.
Consistent.
Sometimes we have a moving standard with our kids. One day that's a spankful offense. Next day it slides. Next day it's spankful, and they get all confused, and they don't know what the rules are and what the punishment is. And so we talk about this all the time. Okay, what are we going to spank for? What are we going to give timeouts for? What's the standard here in the house? And you probably heard this, the four D's, the things that we discipline for: disobedience, dishonesty, disrespect, and danger. Those are the four. Disobedience, dishonesty, disrespect, and danger. Those four things, it's cut and dry for us. It's crystal clear. That's a discipline offense right there. And there's a lot of important reasons for that when you get into that and you dig in those things. Another thing for us that's a battle is sharing the load in discipline between husband and wife. And you may have felt this way too, but sometimes we feel like it's a wrestling match and we got somebody coming in to tag us out. Like, can't you go take Trey? I'll get the rest of this. And sometimes that's because we're worn out and tired. Other times that's because I'm angry and she kind of steps in. And it's not that she undermines what I was trying to teach or she supports me, but in a little more patient, loving way than I was going to do at the time. And so it's important for us to be unified in that discipline, but sometimes we tag each other out. And we're like, okay, I'll take care of this, babe. Just calm down. And I'll go up there and talk to the kids. I think it's just super important for the kids to know that both parents are unified on this. I'm not going to go run into mom or dad when the other one's, you know, giving me a hard time, so that they know this is the standard in our household. So when I was a little kid, I was a terror for my parents. My mom tells a story today. She thought I was either going to end up changing the world or going to prison. Kind of in that mode where it's like, one or the other.
It could go either way.
After church one Sunday, my teacher had disciplined me, given me a timeout, and I didn't like what she did. So all the kids leave the classroom. I go into the classroom, grabbing all the crayons, markers, papers, teaching supplies, just made a total mess of the room. And my mom, looking for me, walks in while I'm doing this.
Wow.
And she's a country girl raised in Texas, and so she knows how to give a whooping. And she gets the paddle out, and she spanks me, and I stomp my foot, and I look up at her, and I said, little spanking, don't hurt me. And she spanked me again, and I did it again. She spanked me again, and I did it again, three or four times. And finally, she's just, you can tell she's just giving it her all to keep up with this. Break this little boy who thinks he's tougher than she is. And, you know, in the end, I repented, and I'm like, okay. And, you know, I look at that, and I think to my mom, you know, the battles that she fought to discipline me, even when it was hard for her, and she was tired and wanted to give up, and she stuck with it because she knew that I needed that. Now looking back, I'm super grateful for that, right?
Yeah.
And she helped me learn the value of obedience and listening and not being stubborn like that. And that was huge for my life. And my mom probably, after that first or second spanking, was like, I just want to, okay, get in and move on, and we'll deal with this later. But she didn't, and I'm grateful that she didn't. One more scripture we want to read. Here, I'll turn this so you guys can see it. Hebrews 10:24-25. This is not necessarily a parenting scripture, but we get some thoughts out of this. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So, you know, we said the heart is better than the actions, right? We talked about that. Discipline the heart, not just the actions. But sometimes we just need to develop healthy spiritual habits.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes the heart comes after we've been doing the habits for a while.
Yep.
And, you know, you think about the connection to the body that we have as people, as Christians, and how important that is for us as parents, for our kids to see, for us as spouses, and what we get out of that. And at some point, our kids get to an age where they're paying attention to those types of things, right? And they're watching, and they're seeing how important is the church to my mom, or the church to my dad, and the relationships that they have in the church. And even if they're too young to remember, or they don't notice, we're building up habits in our life. And so for us, it's the I'm tired, the kids are, you know, sick, or not sick, but just worn out, it's been a long day, and, you know, we're just going to kind of put that on the back burner, we're just not going to go to midweek tonight, and that's none of you, because you guys are all here, so it's probably the people who did. But at some point later on down the road, when our kids have all these activities, and sports, and clubs, and music, and stuff that's going to compete for the things that they would be at church for, we're going to have to make a decision at that point. Am I going to prioritize God and church, or am I going to prioritize my kids' activities? And the decisions we make, even when they're infants and when they're young, that habit that we're building up starts to lay the groundwork for the convictions that we're going to have later in life. And then
at some time later in their life, they're going to look back and have to make their own decision too. Am I going to prioritize God, or am I going to prioritize this thing I want to do? And what they've seen their parents do is probably going to play a big role in which decision they choose to make.
That's good.
And secondly,
really good.
This scripture says something about getting advice. That we spur one another on toward love and good deeds. That I don't know anybody who can be a godly parent in isolation by themselves. I mean, I don't think any of us can do it. And I don't know how many times somebody's seen something in my kids and pointed it out to me, or I've asked advice. And getting advice is probably one of the greatest spiritual habits we can build up as a parent. And so I remember getting advice like, how early should I start spanking my kids when they're like infants? And then I started asking people questions. I'm asking people, I'm like, they're changing diapers and they're fighting me and squirming. And I'm like, that. Getting advice about, like, okay, we're tired, how do we divide and conquer on this, how do we work these issues out when we disagree on how to do something as a parent, and just starting early, getting advice, asking people questions, because the issues get bigger and bigger as we've had the kids get older, and now that we've got that habit of getting advice, when stuff gets ugly, one of us usually looks at each other and it's like, we need some help, and we pick up the phone and we get some help. Christine's going to share some things on this.
Nick teed this up for me, but again, you guys are all here, so I'm probably not talking about you, but I am an introvert to the max. I'm a homebody, I'm an introvert, and so my battle with this scripture, my habit that I tend to get into, I want to prioritize my peace, my sleep, my kids' sleep. Like, I want to shut it down when I'm on trips. There is not a week that goes by. Northview has an Awana program on Wednesday nights. And oh, if every Wednesday afternoon I'm not like, this, I can't. they didn't sleep well last night.
Yeah.
You know, oh, there was a sneeze, I think. in all honesty, there are weeks we don't go because that happens. There's plenty of reasons that are healthy. But for me, I have to look at my heart. Say, okay, they love this. They love Awana. They love their kids, their friends at church. And they are getting to that age where they're asking about it. Like, oh, Mom, it's Wednesday. And that's a good check for my heart. Because if it was just me, if I was dragging a bunch of kids that didn't want to go, like, but they love it. And I need to allow them and their desire to work on my heart and say, okay, this is why I'm doing this. Right. Sure, Thursdays are horrible. Like, still. They get up, they stay up till 9, whatever, on Wednesday night. And I don't know if your kids are that way, but my kids are just a hot mess the next day.
Yeah.
So, and that's a sacrifice that I make, that Nick makes, that the kids make. But it's building those building blocks and practicing those good spiritual habits so that down the road, you know, they need one of those friends. They need... you know, the consistency that they have, they need the relationships with the older kids. And that's how we're going to really build it.
Awesome.
And my wife's awesome. I do the music ministry at church on Sundays. And so I'm there early, and she's getting the kids up by herself and getting them ready and bringing them there. And, I mean, that's her service to the church on Sunday morning.
That's right. That's right.
Taking care
Talk
of
about it
so that I can go and serve in the way that I serve. And then she teaches, at Awana. And so she's denying herself, and that's not in her nature to do that. And, you know, I'll travel for work, and I'll be gone for 2 or 3 days at a time. And she's like, taking the kids to Awana and taking them to church and doing this stuff. And, It's awesome, and I think that's a habit, right? She's building up this habit, and I fast forward, I extrapolate that out years and years, and my kids are going to be in that boat. You know, I grew up playing drums, and I was in every band at school at the same time. I had 7 different bands, and I couldn't go to church, I couldn't go to midweek, couldn't go to teen events, and I'd seen my parents do this for years and years and years, put God first.
Yeah.
And I got baptized when I was 15 years old and became a Christian. And I thought to myself, nobody said anything. I thought, I probably shouldn't be in all these bands missing church every week. So I went to my parents and I said, I think I want to quit all the bands that do the Wednesday night or the Friday night things. And they were like, well, okay. And I went and I did it, and the band director thought it was crazy and called my parents and complained about it. And they were like, hey, this is his decision. And I look back on that, and I think the way I made that decision wasn't because I had some great idea. It's because I saw that example, right?
Yeah.
We had that habit as a family. This was important to us. Church was important. And so I think that's just a great habit to be in, and getting advice, another great habit to be in as parents. I want to go back and close out. We're pretty much done here, but Philippians 1:9, kind of in hindsight, reading that again. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. You know, I want my kids, I want for them the fruit of righteousness. If you think about all the mess that we go through in our lives and the scars and the troubles and the issues we have, and yet we get a chance to raise kids in a godly way and save them from all that mess and help them to walk with God. And the fruit of that is a great life.
Yeah.
Right? The fruit of that is a lot of those things we talked about, the deck chairs at the beginning. A lot of those things will probably be okay because they're centered in their relationship with God. You know, these are some scriptures and some things we've been taught, trying to discern for us what's best. Did you want to say something? Okay, Christine's going to close up and say something, then we'll pray.
You know, and one thing about those deck chairs, the people that came in later were like, deck chairs, what is that you guys talking about? But, you know, those little things, while they're good and they're good to focus on, but they're not the best, some of the decisions you make in those categories can have very long-term spiritual implications. So it's not, what we're not saying is that, you know, these things aren't important and just be hermits and like come to the commune and that's not what we're called to be as Christians on the earth. But one thing, I didn't realize there was going to be so many young families. Like, how many people have less than one, like, or sorry, under 1 year old, like infants and under 1 year old? And very but just speaking to the moms of the babies, this is real. Like, this is hang in there. You know, somebody shared this scripture with me when I had littles, and it even applies for, like, I would say until they go to school, because honestly. Yeah.
And how many do we have that are not in,
like, preschool?
School? Yeah.
Preschool.
Like toddlers, and that's the majority.
Yeah. So, and we don't have this up here, but it's Isaiah 40, verse 11. It says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. And that, obviously, it's talking about a shepherd, but to me, I know that God's expectations of me when I'm dealing with this, I'm not going to be this, like, superstar Christian. I'm not going to be, like, out there the way I was when I didn't have kids. There's a period in time there. It's a phase in life that you're going to need to just buckle down. Dads, too. It's not just about the moms.
Yeah.
That young age before they go to school is so important. My mom called it the wet cement years, you know? Mm-hmm. It's the years where the impressions are just happening all over the place. And that's where your relationship with them starts. It grows from there. But even at that age, like, you just need people. You just need friends and people around you and family and people that are gonna, that know you, that are gonna help you just that guiding you as you have young kids. So.
That's good.
And, you know, speaking of young kids, it's good to end early when you've got a bunch of parents. So thank you guys for having us. We're grateful we could share these thoughts and scriptures with you, and we've got to make this